Talk to you for a few moments before we go to prayer about the standard of truth. And again, in this very brief epistle of John, the number of times in which the word is mentioned, along with other key concepts, also to be able to round out a very distinct contrast between three individuals in the book. There is Gaius, a pastor. There is Demetrius, mentioned, and a man by the name of Diotrephes. And as it concerns a standard for truth, they're poles apart. The poles apart. Very important for us to understand standard, particularly relative to truth itself. Mentioned in verse number 1, the Apostle John writes, "The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth." And I would remind you that while we are to love people, generally speaking, and particularly the brethren, I would remind you that there is a very marked difference between the kind of love that we can have for the brethren with whom we have common belief and those others that we don't share truth with. And the apostle here writing as the elder statesman, as it were, writing late in his life, probably to the churches that are written about in the book of Revelation, Gaius being one of the leaders in this particular church, he says he loves them in the truth. And furthermore, he goes on to say in verse 3, I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. It's interesting to me that that the brethren were able to observe something in this man's life and give testimony to the truth, that this man lived his life, according to what we read in verse 3, by a standard, a certain standard of truth. And as a matter of fact, we look further. It is said in verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth, and then, beloved, thou doest faithfully. Now, that's sort of an underscoring of what is observed by the brothers concerning this man as he walked in the truth. And, of course, we understand that the word walk is typical of taken to be our lifestyle, the way that we normally conduct our affairs from dawn to dusk, 7 days a week. How is it that we live? We live by a certain standard. Very important that we agree on a standard. And it's also very important that we agree on what is the definition of a standard and who's making the call. And again, verse 6, the folks that were beneficiaries of this man's largeness and generosity also bore witness of his love before the church, and stated so in verse 6. And then in verse number 8, we therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. And so you have a statement of the apostles' love for this man in the truth. There is the observation that this man lived by a certain standard of the truth, and he was faithful in that. And then the exhortation for them, as well as we of our generation, to be fellow helpers to the truth, those who join us in association with others that we have and hold common in the truth with these kind of endeavors, in this particular case, assisting those on their journey in ministry. Sort of the same thing that we do as a church family, fellow helpers to the truth where it concerns the extension of our ministry beyond the walls of the church, to the Browns, to the Taylors, to the Duels, and to the Shears. We extend ourselves, fellow helpers, to the truth. Now, this matter of a standard comes into play when you see this man mentioned in verse 1, and you see the man in verse 9. Of him it is said that he loved to have the preeminence among them. And he was seen to be a power grubber. And arbitrary decision making, and he seemed to be a one-man expulsion committee, determining who was acceptable to the body and who wasn't, and would dispose of them at will. And it is said there that that's evil, according to verse 11. It's evil, the thing that Diotrephes does. And then, of course, there's Demetrius in verse 12, had a good report. And as a matter of fact, had a good report of all men and of the truth itself. So like Gaius, Demetrius lived by a certain standard. People were able to observe that in him. Now, when we talk about a standard, I want to take a yardstick and make an illustration and help have you understand that the contrast between Demetrius, Gaius versus Diotrephes is this. If names mean anything, and certainly they did in first century times, Diotrephes apparently refused to modify his name from the pagan name, which this is, which is a name that means nourished by Zeus. That's what his name means. And typically when people were converted in that time era, they changed their name to fit their new culture, where Diotrephes wouldn't. So it seems to me to make this connection that Diotrephes, given his character and the things that are said about him here, was a man who largely fell back on as his standard what we talked about in Sunday school about fables and fiction. Certainly Zeus and all that he is, great mythological character, is nothing more than fiction. And it's a shame that people then as well as now order their life around fictional characters with the calculated results. But I want to ask you for your observation and your input on this. Concerning a standard, truth. Who's to say what truth is? Who's to say what truth is? Okay. Now we say as Bible-believing Christians, who has the call? God. God says. Now the skeptics around us would say you can't do that because you see that's sort of like circular reasoning. You're appealing to your source of authority as the source of authority. Okay. Whereas there needs to be some independent imperial evidence that this is truth, and this is truth. So, like for this last week, they recently put a rocket up to send it to Mars. Okay? How many of you know the truth of the mission? The purpose for which the rocket was launched? Anybody recall reading that? Yes. Go a little bit further. Now, not just any kind of life. Not just any kind of life. But they're sending a rocket to Mars that's supposed to arrive there next summer, okay? And find out if what they suspect is true, that there were the tiniest forms of life on Mars. Now, that construct comes out of a certain standard for truth, which is evolutionary in nature. Okay? Has no basis in fact, but somebody has erected a standard. And so you have a standard of evolution. 3 feet high. Okay? And by this, a person's worldview is crafted on that standard. Now, who's to say that that's right or wrong? The biblicist, I'm going to notice the difference between the metal and the wood, okay? Or, so we say, silver, stubble. The evolutionary construct has its own standard, own measuring stick. The biblicist, who falls back on a worldview that has a construct in creation, has his own measuring stick. And so we want to compare the measuring sticks. What happens if, oh, by the way, how many of these does it take to make these? Huh? Three. Do you ever recall reading anywhere in history who said so? Who says it takes three of these to make these? Who made the declaration that there are 3 feet in these things here? Who says that? If I stand before you and I say, you know, I look at this measuring reed as about 40 inches. That's a 40-inch measuring rod. I'm pretty close. I mean, I didn't say 80 inches. I said 40. 40 to 36 versus 36 to 80 is a big difference. I'm close. But my standard is that I'm going to stretch it a little bit. Where somebody else may look at this and say, well, no, I don't see 36. I see 30. I won't stretch it as much as you do. Now, who's to say between two conflicting parties which standard is right or wrong? And then when you appeal to another source, how many of these does it take to equal one of these? How many of these does it take to equal one of those? So now the unit of measurement is no longer feet, but inches. And how many inches is in one of these? 36. Who said so? Somebody, the dude that made the ruler, and I point out this was made in Highbridge, New Jersey, somebody painted the numbers on here. Who told him to put 36 numbers on here? Why is 36 inches equal a yard? I mean, the Canadians, you just put it in the realm of the football field. America plays on a football field that's 100 yards from goal line to goal line. The Canadians play on a football field that's 120 yards. Okay? They got to go further to get a touchdown. Standard of measurement's different. Of your foot. But the problem with that is, and then they take into consideration the span of a person's hand. Well, this is supposed to be X number of inches, and this is X number of inches, except that some hands don't have the span. So everything is arbitrary. When it comes to the truth, who says what truth is? We say, because of our biblical bias and biblical bigotry, that God says what truth is. Huh? Yes? We say that. Now, is there universal agreement and consensus of one standard of truth biblically in the Christian community? What do you think? Is there a consensus in the Christian community about the standard of truth? Now, most of, Christians who are really Christian will say, will probably answer the same about this question. Do you believe the Bible is God's word? And most Christians will always say, well, yes. And if they say no, well, you know, there's something a little bit messed up there. But then I ask again about the standard of truth. If I have here my Bible, and you have here your Bible, can we agree that it saith the same thing? If I go out to First Baptist Butler, or to First Baptist in Evan City, and I put their pew Bible, First Baptist pew Bible, and our pew Bible all together, and we read out of the same passage, are we going to agree that it says the same thing? Is the standard of truth changing? So who's to say who's right about what God has said? Now, here Gaius, Demetrius were noted by other observers that they were faithful to the truth in a day when the truth was fixed, inflexible, immutable. If we were to apply the notion that standard or that measuring stick to truth, what would be one solid scriptural warrant for making the claim on which, if you proof text aside, if you were to hang your life on that reference, what would it be? What's the definition of truth? Remember, Pilate asked Jesus a question at this trial. What is truth? Did Jesus ever address that topic anywhere in John's epistle? Okay, Jesus said, I am the truth. And by definition, again, using biblical referencing, and using scripture to interpret scripture, when Jesus says, I am the truth, it is that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, forever. He's the same. He never changes. Therefore, when he said in John 17, thy word is truth, does that word ever change? It does not. Are words important? All of them. How many of them are you willing to throw under the bus and still have consensus as to the truth? If we had a Bible study, an eclectic Bible study in Sunday school starting January 1st, and I had one-third of our class issued English Standard Version Bibles. Another third of our class issued New International Version Bibles. And another third of our class issued New American Standard Bibles. Or even this, I'll cut the cake a little closer, issued New King James Bibles. Okay? And the only one in the room with the King James Bible is the teacher. And I say, okay, here's what we want to do for class this morning. Oh, everybody open their Bibles up to the book of Jude. Everybody open up to the book of Jude. Let's all stand and read together beginning at verse number 1. Again, I ask, is the truth, word for word, all that critical? I mean, are there some things that are, you know, you would push to the side? So here we are. We're in Sunday school class and we're all reading out of the Bibles that we were issued. At some point, guaranteed, the only one who would be reading at the end would be the guy with the King James Bible at the front, because the other ones would have concluded their reading well in advance. Why is that? Because there are many verses and phrases that are completely eliminated from the texts. So I come back again and I say to you, if we are to be faithful to the truth, there must be truth by a verifiable biblical scriptural standard. And then somebody will say, well, look here, Pastor, you got to be reasonable with this. Because, you know, when you read the King James Bible, there are words there that were added by the translator that they didn't appear in the Greek text. They weren't. Okay, so what do you do about those? Are they, how do those fall into verbal plenary inspiration and the necessary doctrine there? And all I will say to you is that those italicized words that are inserted into the text are added in the context for clarification. But if you were to take the source of the translation itself, and providing that we were all Greek language experts, not only being able to read it and write it, but speak it, then we would have complete uniformity without the notion of the italicized words. Now, I've said all that to say this. When it comes to the truth as a standard, we've got to agree on what the truth is. And the only point that we agree on is, first of all, we've got to define it. And I believe that unless I'm taught else otherwise, Jesus himself defines what truth is. And the standard that he imposes over everything is a fixed, immutable, unchangeable point of reference that is always the same. And that's basically what the observation was about this man, Gaius, and Demetrius. Faithful. Basically, that's a straightforward notion of faithfulness. So there was the love and the truth. There was the testimony of the truth. There's the walking in the truth. And there was the fellow helpers to the truth. All rising to a standard. All rising to a standard. Do you have any questions or comments? When you go to prayer tonight, keep in mind that I don't think it's rocket science. If it is, it's beyond me. But I do think that one of the things that has thrown the community of Bible-believing churches into disarray is that the churches can no longer agree on what the text says. There is not uniformity about what the text of Scripture says, and therefore that breeds the seed of amoralism across the line with every other subject. Because when you bring other issues to light and we want to reference the truth, inasmuch as nobody can agree with what the text says, everybody is free to call this issue, and this issue as they see it. And who's to say with the rest of us who's right? And therefore, we shrink back, comfortably so, in our Baptist Christian liberty. Every man is free to call it as he wishes. So pray that once again, God's people would be summoned to the Word, would give themselves to the reading of Scripture, to the meditating in Scripture, and then to the doing of it. Where it would be really nice, it would really be super to gather into a Bible conference again with the churches, whether it's the Western Association or whether it's the PRBC, and know out of your heart and sense that there is a unanimity as to what the text of Scripture says. However interpretations may go this way, we agree on what the text says. People will always differ in interpretation of truth, but they should never disagree as to what the text says, ever. Liberty applies only to the interpretational aspects of Christian living, not what the text should say. Our Father, please help us to be wise in this matter, to be patient in this matter, and to realize, Lord, that we cannot possibly claim the fortress position in this battle. We too still are learning, and there's much ground yet to cover. But Lord, help us to be faithful to the light that you've revealed. Help us in this for Jesus' sake. Amen.